So who's here? Is anyone? Okay. So I guess we have a question. Is so yesterday we discussed the Rambams. Okay, we have a tentative theory about the Rambams, about the system of when you say, you know, how Kiddush Hashem works out by, you know, for Klal Yisrael, right? By Jews. And I guess just to quickly review, we said there's two types. There's two types, two aspects, or two types of Kiddush Hashem by a Jew. One is that they're asserted that the system of the Torah is a system of absolute chachma, and everything we do is according to chachma. And even a decision of whether we should live or die, whether we should give over our lives for the religion or we should not, is subject to principles of chachma. And the chachma is, the basic punchline of that chachma is that there are three mitzvos, or three types of classes of mitzvos, which for which it's not worth living, and we must give over our lives. And all the other mitzvos are v'chaibam, that you should live by them. And that indicates that on the one hand our commitment to the system is supreme, and we're willing to give our lives for it. Our lives aren't more important than the system, so it's a testament to the fact we recognize a reality beyond. You know, beyond our own lives, but it's an objective reality. But at the same time, it's not a fanatical thing. As you see, that we're in general, we don't give up our lives. In general, the system itself tells us that the Torah is interested in life, and is not interested in destroying a person's physical, but it's interested in a person living. So in general, the mitzvahs are the way that we should live. But if it comes to the decision of dying, then we don't have to give our lives for it. So the fact that it's like a split system indicates that. That idea is the Kiddush Hashem. Part of the Kiddush Hashem of the Torah is that a person's decision about how to live their life, when a person makes a decision about how to live his life, whether to live or to die, based upon Chachma, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Okay? It's not because there are people witnessing it or whatever. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem involves that, includes that idea. The decision of a decision, deciding to live your life based on Chachma is under the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and that's part of the way Klal Yisrael lives. That's the first facet of Kiddush Hashem, of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. That's one idea. Then you have another idea, which is that another facet of Kiddush Hashem is when someone is attempting to destroy the Torah. Someone is trying to destroy the Torah, to destroy the religion. So we must be willing to give our lives to prevent that from happening. Okay, someone's destroying the religion, destroying the das, destroying the nation whose mission is Kiddush Hashem. So we must do all in our power, even give our lives to prevent that. Now the question is how does someone destroy the religion? So if it's a shmar, shas hashmar, the time period of persecution, that is what is going on. There's a national There's a movement towards destroying the das, destroying the religion, and therefore any time you must basically stop the person, stop that at all costs. You can't allow them to be successful in destroying the religion, and therefore you can't go along with the thing no matter what. Okay, and if you that any instance, even if you're in private, if they tell you to eat pig, you know, it's part of the movement of destroying Judaism, so you must prevent this destruction of Judaism at all costs. Okay, you must give your life for it.
How is that
saying Shem Hashem is fake? Because they're basically, by the guy forcing you, he's saying, and the persecutions they're doing is they're saying Shem Hashem is not real. They're saying is this religion is fake, and look at this, they're even willing to go against the thing when we pressure them. Destroy them, persecute them, get them to get them to bow down to idols, get them to do whatever it is, and they're basically trying to undermine the religion. They're trying to break it. So basically you're saying is it's not true. This is absolute. This religion is true, and we're not going to stand for your bittul das, your destruction of the religion. So that's Kiddush Hashem. They're attempting to destroy the Shem Hashem, and you're supporting it. So that's if they're involved in a national movement. But then you have, but the problem is like this. So now, but let's say there's no shmad, there's no persecution. Just one guy comes up to you and decides to he wants to not to cause you to violate the Torah. So the thing is that one guy, the religion, the Kiddush Hashem of the Torah, the system of the Torah, doesn't take place through one guy. It takes place through the nation, Mikdashti B'Soch of Bnei Yisrael, through the nation of Klal Yisrael. So forcing one guy to violate the Torah doesn't undermine the system of the Torah. The Kiddush Hashem takes place through the Tzibor, and therefore the Chilul Hashem, or the break in the system, takes place through the Tzibor. So if you have 10 people, 10 Jews there, and you force one Jew there to violate in the presence of all the other Jews, and everyone's sitting by and watching this thing happen, then you have the nation is testifying that this religion doesn't really matter. Basically, by them watching him violate the thing, the nation is involved in accepting the fact that the religion isn't real. That we're going to just go against them. They're accepting the guy's mission, the attempt. So therefore, it's not the fact that it's public. The point is that all ten Jews are involved in this chel, because they're all assenting to it and they're all allowing it to happen. They're not stopping it. So, but if you just do one Jew, if you force one Jew to violate an Avera, so it's very nice, one Jew, but it doesn't undermine the system. The system is the system of Kiddush Hashem via the Tzibor, and that's just one guy. But again, if it's Shas HaShmad, the time period itself intrinsically relates to the whole Tzibor. And therefore, your one thing is simply an instance of the larger attack on the system. So therefore, it's automatically related to the whole Tzibor. Because of this, the Shas HaShmat. Okay, so now let's try to move towards. I think, to my mind, I guess the biggest problem or the biggest set of problems in the sugya. I mean, again, the Rambams per se aren't problematic. They're interesting and they're, you know, they ask for a unification or for some sort of a systemization of when and where you do Kiddush Hashem, but they're not problematic per se. To me, the first thing to me which is problematic in this sugya is the possibility that you could have Kiddush Hashem for a guy. Okay, because the way I always understood it is Kiddush Hashem is the mission of Klal Yisrael. It's as a klal, that's what we do. Idea of keeping the mitzvot, the whole system of the Torah is designed so that the world will see us and say, what a wise and discerning nation, and through us they will gain knowledge of God. That's our mission. That's our role, is to be the spokesman to the world of ideas about God. And that's the idea of Kiddush Hashem, that we must be totally committed to Kiddush Hashem, even at the expense of our life. That's part of the Jewish mission. And you got to be willing, when you accept being part of Klal Yisrael, you're accepting to be willing to give your life, to be involved. This is our mission, and this is what you have to be willing to give your life for. But a guy, a Ben Noach, is not involved in that mission. I mean, every person in the world is a Ben Noach, or should be a Ben Noach. There's no membership to the thing. Everyone is obligated to be a Ben Noach. It's the life for every person in the world. And the obligation is not a life of Kiddush Hashem. It's a life of a human being. I mean, that's the basic idea. They're not animals. Okay, if you want to be a human being and you want to live, you have to live like a human being. And you have to, there's a certain basic level. This is not my, Rebbe has talked about this, he gave shir on the Bnei Noach thing, but I think that's the basic idea, is that it's the basic right to live as a human being, is like you have to be doing these types of things. If you don't keep these seven mitzvahs, then you're like, you don't have a right to exist as a human being. You're basically lowering yourself to the level of animals. And you have no, I think the Sefer Chinuch actually says it, it's an intro to Sefer Chinuch, I think he says something along this line. That's basically, it's not a, they're not kedusha. It's not a life of kedusha. The life of the Sheva Mitzvah. It's a life. I mean, it's the basic life, the baseline level of humanity. You want to be human beings. This is what you have to do. And if, otherwise, you don't have a right to live. And therefore, in theory, the chayav misa, if they violate any of the Sheva Mitzvah. They're not involved. There's no mission for a guy to be involved in Kiddush Hashem. It's nothing to do with it. It's not his mission. He's not doing that. I mean, no one's going to look at a person who doesn't know, say, wow, what a wise and certain nation, or God is unbelievable. I mean, they're not doing it. In fact, there's almost no positive aspects to the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. Right? There's dinim, which is enforcing their negative violations. Right? I mean, it's not a positive mission. So the whole thought is a goy obligated in Kiddush Hashem, to me sounds like a stretch. Kiddush Hashem for a guy? I mean, why is a guy Kiddush Hashem? Right? So now you could, I guess you could have tried to argue. Oh, by the way, is Adam on there?
Yeah.
Oh, so just digressing for a second, but the cases yesterday we were talking about I'll get into it naturally. How about give me a second? So again, so you could just say like, look, they're obligated to keep the seven mitzvah noach. Period. No matter what. No matter what. But you see that that's not true. Even according to the Havmina, to be obligated to Kiddush Hashem, it's not true if they're in private. Everyone agrees if in private, they would not be obligated to, they could bow down to idols in private. So it's not just saying is that they're obligated in Avodah Zarah, period, no matter what, hands down, no exceptions. It's not true. There are exceptions. They wouldn't have to do it if their life depended on it. And the only reason why you'd say they have to not bow down to idols is for Kiddush Hashem. It's not a question, is are Goyim obligated in Avodah Zarah when their life is on the line? That's not the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is they obligated in Kiddush Hashem. So it's the framework of Kiddush Hashem here. But again, Goyim Kiddush Hashem, is that their mission? Is that, how could you even entertain? That's what I think is a major problem here. And the analog of that problem is even if you somehow want to say that they do belong in Kiddush Hashem, maybe I'm mistaken, maybe that is the mission of Goyim. Who said Kiddush Hashem is only for Jews? Maybe Kiddush Hashem is even for Goyim. Even the Pasuk in the Gashli B'Soch B'nei Yisrael doesn't sound like that, but whatever. Let's say the Gemara is entertaining the possibility, maybe Goyim also, B'nei Noach also have it. So then it should be in front of 10 B'nei Noach also. Public, for whatever reason it has to be in public, which we don't know why it has to be in public, but it does. So fine, so then it should be B'nei Noach. Then the Kiddush Hashem is not limited to Jews, it's also B'nei Noach. So then it should be in front of 10 B'nei Noach. How could you, it's manoshach. Either Kiddush Hashem is only for Jews, then it's only for Jews. Or it's for B'nei Noach also, so then it should be in front of 10 B'nei Noach. I mean, that's the big problem. Again, the digression which we talked about yesterday, just as a side point, is the story there by Naaman. The question is, it says that he was bitzinah. He was in private. So someone may say it's in private means he was really in private. Because Rashi says he's in private, but he's in front of all the Gayim. But he says, no, private means in front of, public means in front of 10 Jews. 10 Gayim. Even vis-a-vis a guy, public means 10 Jews. Okay, so the question was, maybe that's just Rashi, but maybe others would learn differently. So I think it's difficult. I looked at the story this morning, and the story there is by Naaman. He came to Elisha, and he was basically doing tshuva. He was doing tshuva he's the guy who went in the river or whatever, in the lake, the river, the body of water, and he removed his saras, and he basically recognized God, and he said, God's unbelievable. And I'm not going to I'm not going to really sin anymore. But here's the one thing, please allow me to do this, or forgive me for this. Because he was a general for the king of Aram. I think it's Aram, right? He's the king of Aram. So he was a general. And he basically says, you're going to have to excuse me for this one thing, is that I'm a general to the king. And I'm going to go with my king into Beis Rimon, into this house of Avodah Zarah. And he's going to lean on me when he bows down to his idol. Then I'm going to... I'm going to bow also with him. He's going to pressure me to, and that's out of force. I'm doing it out of force. So the Gemara shows that you see, apparently, the Ben Noach is allowed to do that, because he said, Elisha said, okay, go in peace. In other words, he's saying, that's fine, don't worry about it. So the Gemara tried to prove that shows that Ben Noach are not beginning Kiddush Hashem, because if they were, then he should say, no, yeah, you can't do it. So the Gemara answers, no, maybe you'll say they are obligated to Kiddush Hashem, but that's in Sinah, that's in private. So again, Rashi says, I mean private. So he says, private means there were no 10 Jews. But let's say it means it's really in private. But it's not talking about, and you see, so Adam said, maybe that case was a case where he only did it in front of, not even 10 Goyim. But the case is not a particular instance in the past, it's in the future. That Naaman is saying, in the future, I'm going to bow down with the king. So you're talking about the king of Aram in his base of Avodah Zarah. Presumably there are 10 bodyguards or whatever. I mean, it's hard to say that all the future times in that he's going to bow down with the king of Aram is going to be with less than 10 people in the house of Avodah Zarah. You know, like, if it was a particular story, you could try to read that into it. A story in the past, you say, maybe that was the case. But it doesn't seem like he's giving a permit in the future. Go ahead, don't worry about it. So, I mean, it seems that's what Rashi's saying. Is, what do you mean? There's definitely going to be a lot of people in this house. I mean, presumably when the king goes to the house of worship, there are a lot of people there. Kings usually tend to have a lot of people with them. So, but he's saying, don't worry about it. And Rashi says, oh, it's private because there aren't 10 Jews. So I don't think you could really learn. A while ago?
No.
Okay, yeah. So I don't think you could really learn that it's talking about where there weren't. It's only a rare case where there's less than 10 Goyim around. I think Rashi is making a fair deduction from the Gemara that it means that even if you were to say Kiddush Hashem is only by Goyim, it's only when there's in front of 10, and it's only in front of 10 Jews. Okay, something like this. And I think this is will justify a little bit, a little more, maybe this far from yesterday. But the idea, namely, is that a guy, there's no really Kiddush Hashem for Goyim. Okay? Intrinsically, there really is no Kiddush Hashem for Goyim. The Mikdash Yisrael Bnei Yisrael. Okay? The Mikdash Yisrael Bnei Yisrael. Okay. But like this, is a guy does have to recognize Sinai, okay? Because in fact, you're probably familiar with the Rambam. It says that if a guy keeps the Shevamis Meninach because he thinks they make sense, that's not Shevamis Meninach. Shevamis Meninach means you keep the Shevamis Meninach because at Sinai they were given, because they're commanded by Moshe at Sinai, from Moshe at Sinai. Okay, if he just happens to do them by accident, that's not it. Okay, it means is that he has to recognize the Sinai, and the fact that at Sinai Jews were commanded in the mitzvahs, but Goyim were commanded in Shavuot mitzvahs. Okay, so he definitely is part of the idea of the guy is he has to recognize the Jew. Okay, he has to recognize the nation, and the Jewish mitzvah, the Sinai is the nation which is setting up the system of Torah. He has to recognize the system of Torah; he's just not obligated in it. But the fact that it's a reality is definitely truth for him. Okay. Now, but a guy doing something, the fact that a guy does something terrible is not Chil Hashem, per se. Because Chil Hashem isn't through Goyim, it's through Jews. Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem is through Jews, not through Goyim. Okay. But the system of Torah obligates Jews to do 613 and obligates Goyim to do 7. That's part of the system of the Torah, right? Okay. Now, imagine the scenario is that a guy wants to undermine the Torah, okay? And the way he could undermine the Torah is he could force a Jew to violate a mitzvah in the presence of 10 other Jews, right? He could force a Jew to eat pig. And he says, look, see, the Jews are just allowing this violation to happen. So here it is, in front of 10 Jews, all these Jews are just letting the Torah be violated, right? So that's one method. Another method could be, he could go to a Ben Noach, and he could force the Ben Noach, in the presence of 10 Jews, to eat Eiver Menachai, okay, to eat whatever, to violate one of their prohibitions. And here he says, look at this, the Jews, these 10 Jews, are just watching their system be violated. Okay, and therefore he brings back Chil Hashem, because in other words, he's not attacking the Ben Noach, he's attacking, it's the 10 Jews who really, the Chil Hashem is taking place through the 10 Jews, and it's not taking place through that guy, through the guy who's eating it, it's taking place through the 10 Jews, because the Chil Hashem or Kiddush Hashem takes place through the 10 Jews, through Jews. But by the guy violating it, he's allowing a Chil Hashem to take place through Klal Yisrael, through the 10 Jews who are just sitting there. So there's going to be a Mikdash Yisrael Bnei Yisrael is going to be violated. Those 10 Jews are just going to watch the system of Torah being violated through the vehicle of the non-Jew. So since the non-Jew has to, you could argue, since the non-Jew has to recognize the reality of Sinai and the reality of the Jewish mission, although he's not obligated personally, but he does recognize that the Jews are obligated personally, and insofar as he would just violate this thing, he would be participating in the Jewish violation of the Jewish Chil Hashem. And therefore you say that he's not allowed to do that. Since he's obligated to recognize Sinai, he's obligated to stand by Sinai and to give his life for Sinai. Okay, not because he's violating it. Again, it's because the Jews who are witnessing the thing and allowing it to happen. And that's why it's definitely 10 Goyim would not do anything. It has to be 10 Jews. And that's why this is only the Chil Hashem of the Farhasiyah. It's not the big three, because the big three, who cares if the guy who violates the big three? The guy isn't the guy who doesn't have the Kedushas Yisrael, that he lives his life, every aspect of his life is absolute Chachma. That's for Jews, that's not for Goyim. That whole thing doesn't apply to that guy. This is just the special type of Chil Hashem, which is the idea of Farhasiyah, which is when you involve 10 Jews, because now the goy, it's not the goy's Chol Hashem per se, it's the goy as a vehicle of the Chol Hashem of the 10 Jews. And that's how you could have it. How you can't, we have to get to what the Ibaya is, why you'd say you don't have it. But that's why, that's the argument to say that you would have a Chol Hashem by a guy. That's why they'd be obligated on it. It reminds me of something I heard Rabbi say once, but not in this context, but I think he said is like, there's a, I forgot the exact case, but it was like, a guy can't eat like a carbon of Klal Yisrael. Okay? So the question was, well, like, something like that. And the particulars might not be correct, but the kind of the idea is the same. And the question was, why not? It's not one of the seven Sfeinim. Oh, like it's kachem. It's designated for a certain objective in the base of Mekdash. And the guy's not allowed to eat it. And if he does, I don't know, whatever. He's not allowed to. So the question is, why is he not allowed to? Which of the seven Sfeinim is that? That's not one of the seven Sfeinim. Right? But the answer was, is that he has to recognize the reality of the Torah. There's a reality to Torah, and there's a reality to kachem. They're halachic realities. And the fact that I can't eat a carbon isn't just because there's a losase which says don't eat carbon. It's because there's a reality that a carbon has a halachic designation, Hashem. And by you eating it, you're breaking that designation. So you're like undermining the halachic reality. And he has to recognize the halachic reality because that's a part of Sinai. Part of Sinai is there are certain halachic realities. And he can't deny those realities. So he wouldn't be violating one of the Sheva mitzvahs. That's not a mitzvah for him, but it's an undermining of a reality which exists. And the realities of Sinai are realities for Adam. And everyone has to recognize them. He has only seven like mitzvahs. So similarly here, I'm saying there's a reality of the Kiddush Hashem of Klal Yisrael, and he must recognize that. So he would have to give up his life because by him bowing down, he would thereby be causing a Chol Hashem in Klal Yisrael through Klal Yisrael. Therefore, since it's all from Sinai, basically, when a guy violates the Shevon Hashem Shemayinach, he's breaking Sinai. And he is breaking Sinai. Sinai says that a guy has to keep these Shevon missiles. So when a guy violates it, so he's breaking Sinai. Okay, fine, but that's not Chol Hashem, because Chol Hashem is through the unit of Klal Yisrael. So it's true he's breaking Sinai, but not every break of Sinai is Chol Hashem. Chol Hashem is Vinkdashi B'soch Pnei Yisrael, is through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. So ordinarily, that takes place through the actions of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't take place through the actions of Goyim. But you have a rare case where you can have a guy being forced to do an Avera in the presence of Klal Yisrael, so thereby his violation, which is a break of Sinai, in the presence and is being allowed by the 10 Jews, is basically the Jews are, there's a Chol Hashem by the fact that Jews are just watching a break of Sinai. And it happens to be, it's through the guy, but that's just the way it happens to be. It's like a clever case which comes up, that it's a way to end up, you know, obligating the guy in Chol Hashem. Right, so what's the Ibaya? So what's the question? Gemara asks, is the Ben Noach obligating Kiddush Hashem, or is he not obligating Kiddush Hashem? So this is pretty convincing. Right, so why not? Like, what's the question now? Why would he say he is, why would he say he isn't? It's not really a question. Again, the question isn't about counting. The question is in this scenario, if someone puts a gun to the Ben-Noach's head and says, bow down to the idol, is he allowed to bow down, or does he have to give up his life? So we just presented an argument why he has to give up his life, because bowing down would be in participating in a Chol Hashem, in a Chol Hashem of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he can't do that. He's not allowed to do that. But apparently there's an argument to say he's not mitzuv on Kiddush Hashem. He's not obligated in this. Why not? Bisoch Bnei Yisrael. Because the question is like, Vinikdashi Bisoch Bnei Yisrael is like a reality. It's a statement that God's name will be Mekudesh through Malach amongst the Klal Yisrael. And he has to recognize that also. That's Sinai. That is what Sinai is. So therefore he should have the obligation to recognize that. In fact, I forgot the particulars, but I remember there's a halacha is if a goy hits a Jew, he's Chayav Misa. I think it's the Rambam even held that has it. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like this. You have... maybe this is different. Maybe there's another svara out there you give. But this is what I have. When we say... there's one point in the svara which maybe you can make a question in. Which is that we said is that when a guy violates the Torah, it's a break in Sinai. Okay? That's true. But not in the same way as when a Jew violates the Torah. Okay? You see, the Torah is essentially the system of the Torah, the system of Kiddush Hashem, is the system of Tariq Mitzvahs, and that's the system for Jews. Okay? Now that is the system of Kiddush Hashem. And Kiddush Hashem takes place through the Jews. Now, but does Sinai say nothing about the rest of the world, how everybody else should live? No, it does tell them also how to live. Okay, so even though there's the nation of Torah, the nation of Klal Yisrael, the nation of Mekadshei Shemo, involved in Kiddush Hashem, there's also other people, and the Torah does prescribe a life for them. Okay? But that life is not the life of Kiddush Hashem. It's a component of the Torah. The Torah does have as an additional facet of the Torah is, besides for the life of Taryag, of Kiddush Hashem, it also has life of Shevet Zmeyah. But like when a Jew is not keeping the Torah, he's being lax. So the Kiddush Hashem is lacking. When the Jews are not doing the Torah, Kiddush Hashem is lacking directly, because the Torah and Tariq Mitzvahs are the system of Kiddush Hashem. When a guy violates the Torah, it's like, it's not that Kiddush Hashem is lacking, it's just like the Torah, he's violating the Torah, which is the system of Kiddush Hashem. You know what I mean? So it's like backhandedly undermining the Torah. He's backhandedly undermining the Jewish mission. He's not undermining the Jewish mission per se. The Jewish mission is to keep Torah, keep the mitzvahs, to keep Tariq mitzvahs, and do Kiddush Hashem. It's not to make sure that Goyim keep Shabbat mitzvahs. No, that's not primarily the mission. The Kiddush Hashem takes place through keeping Tariq mitzvahs. So when you force 10 Jews to be involved in breaking the Torah Tariq mitzvahs, you're forcing a Kiddush Hashem directly. You're undermining the system of Kiddush Hashem. When you force a Goy, you're doing is you're not breaking the Tariq Mitzvahs in the system of Kiddush Hashem, but you're breaking like a facet, a secondary feature of the Torah, which is the way the Torah mandates that a goy should live. So you're breaking Sinai, you're breaking like a secondary component of the system of Torah, of the system of Kiddush Hashem. So the question is that considered like a machayev in Kiddush Hashem? Or is that a chol Hashem? There's a chol Hashem if 10 Jews are involved in denying the system. What about if 10 Jews are involved in denying like an appendage to the system, something which is part of the system but like a secondary component? Do you say that is chol Hashem and therefore you're obligated to? That's a break in Mikdashi Pesach B'nei Yisrael. And that's Machayev the guy to give his life. What you say now is that the Mikdash Shulchan Bnei Yisrael is through the system itself, the primary reality of the system, not through the appendage to the system. And therefore, the guy breaks it, even though the Jews are watching it happen, they're not watching the Tayag being broken, they're just watching a secondary thing. So that's not a Chil Hashem, and that's not Machayev the guy to give his life. So it's not really a question, is our B'nai Noach Av? That's just a little, what lends itself to saying there's maybe another Svaria. What I'm saying is not a question, is it sufficient to obligate the B'nai Noach in Kiddush Hashem or not? It's not really the question. The question, intrinsically, a B'nai Noach would have to do Kiddush Hashem. But the question is this an instance? Could there be an instance of Chil Hashem through a guy? And if there could be, then he's going to be obligated. If there can't be, then he's not commanded in that. Is there such an instance of a tzivoy, of a guy who is involved in Kiddush Hashem? And how could it be? So the question is there a chol Hashem of 10 Jews allowing an appendage of the system being broken? And if so, then a guy is going to thereby be commanded in chol Hashem. Or do you say, no, that's not a chol Hashem? Chol Hashem is when 10 Jews are breaking the system itself, not that which is an appendage to the system. So in that case, then there is simply no instance of a guy who is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Now, Sinai was, so to speak, like a double event. Sinai was obligated to the Jews in Kiddush Hashem and obligated the Goyim in Shevet Mitzvahs, you know? So it's part of the reality of Sinai is that a Goyim are obligated in Shevet Mitzvahs, but it's not the Kiddush Hashem part of the Torah. It's the obligated, the Chayiv is the Torah. So when the Jews are watching the break of the Torah take place, but not the Torah, B'Torah's Kiddush Hashem, it's not the essence of the Torah, but it's the book, which is the system of Kiddush Hashem. So you could say that's like a vehicle of Chol Hashem, because they're breaking that which is contained in the book of Kiddush Hashem. So it's like a secondary method of breaking the Torah through the Goyim. What do you say? No, that's the Chil Hashem is through the primary Tayag. It's not, Chil Hashem doesn't take place through the secondary components of the Torah. Yeah. Okay, let's think about it some more. We still have to do here is maybe we could get this a little bit, think of another Svara, or maybe get a little better, and let's take the Gemara then. So the Gemara wants to prove it from the Sheva, you know, what's the Gehavinos going on the Gemara? Because the Gemara thinks it knocks it out, is that if you tell me the Chayev, so then it should be 8 mitzvahs, not 7 mitzvahs. So the answer is no, it really is them and all their attachments, their Avizrayah. So what's the Havamina Maskan on the Gemara there? And how does the Rambam, remember, use this Gemara to prove that it should count as the 613th mitzvah? He says, oh, you see, it counts as an 8th mitzvah, so it should count the 613th mitzvah. But it's not true, it's that's only the Havamina of the Gemara. The Maskan of the Gemara is that it doesn't count as an 8th mitzvah. So how does the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs use that as a proof that it should be counted? Okay, I was just mentioning, Adam reminded me, there's a Rambam which is in Malachim Yud Vav. And he basically says that Ben Noach, Akum Shehiko Yisrael, if an Akum hits a Jew, Afilu Chavbo Kosho, even any little wound, Af Bishu Chayiv Misa, Inon Erak. He's Chayiv Misa, but he's not killed. So if a guy hits a Jew, he's Chayiv Misa. Okay, if he wounds a Jew, he's Chayiv Misa. So it could be the idea is Yud Vav in Malachim. So it could be the reason is because the guy has to keep Sheva Mitzvahs because he recognizes Sinai. And Sinai is the reality of essentially the setting of the Jew as the one who teaches the world, the ideas about God. And therefore, if he hits a Jew, he's basically undermining that role of the Jew. All he's saying is the Jew isn't a reality. So that he's Chayav Mitzvah for that. That's his whole system is based upon him is the recognition of Sinai. And the primary reality of Sinai sets up Klal Yisrael. So he's undermining the idea of Klal Yisrael, so therefore he's Chayav Misa. I mean, you have to get into the details of Halacha. Why he says Chayav Misa, we don't kill him. I mean, there's more details. I mean, you have to look into it. But I'm saying it's in line with the idea that the guy has to accept the reality of Klal Yisrael. Okay, good. Thank you, Adam.